That's why it's so annoying to me that they say, what's a new thing you got? Well, what's wrong with the old shit?
Right.
No one ever proved it. No one ever did the basic detective work that was required. Because why? Because it was such a mess bureaucratically. It's clear that Lyndon Johnson didn't want to go into an investigation for real because he feared it. He feared what would come out. He feared that there'd be a war. That's what he said to the Warren Commission.
Welcome to The End of Innocence. I'm your host, John Young. While we have only scratched the surface of digging through the recently released JFK assassination files, there are those out there that want to know why we haven't uncovered a so-called smoking gun yet. I say to these critics, while we still have pages and pages to go through, I would say to you that the smoking gun has been there all along.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Numerous photographs and films show the police and eyewitnesses in Dealey Plaza storming the grassy knoll, and some were seen entering the Texas School Book Depository soon after the shooting. They did so in response to what they had just witnessed. The crowds that entered the Texas School Book Depository did so in response to the statements of witnesses Howard Brennan and Amos Ewens, and following the lead of Dallas Motorcycle Patrolman Marion Baker. Baker had heard the shots and observed pigeons scattering into the air from their perches on the book depository. Baker rushed into the building to investigate. He was met by Building Superintendent Roy Truly, and together they ran up the stairs to the second floor and encountered depository employee Lee Harvey Oswald. Oswald left the depository soon after. We looked at Oswald's journey to his rooming house back in Episode 9. A couple of witnesses told police they saw a rifle sticking out of one of the upper floors of the depository during the shooting. More Dallas police officers joined Officer Baker and began to search the building at around 12:32 p.m. 5 minutes passed before the book depository was sealed off for the investigation. When they began to search the book depository, Deputy Sheriff Eugene Boone, Deputy Sheriff Luke Mooney, and Dallas Constable Seymour Weissman went from floor to floor searching the building. They were looking for something or someone that seemed out of place in the building. Deputy Sheriff Roger Craig would soon join them in the investigation, as he had been in Dealey Plaza seeing the Oswald lookalike get into a Nash Rambler station wagon and leave Dealey Plaza. Dallas Constable Seymour Weissman would say this about the search, quote, "I found it odd that as we got to the sixth floor, there seemed to be more of a sense of urgency there on that floor. It was almost like someone was tipped off that we would find something there on that particular floor of the building." Deputy Sheriff Eugene Boone was in charge of the search and said he wanted it torn apart. He said he wanted that gun and it's here somewhere, end quote. The time is now around 1 p.m. It's been around 30 minutes since the shooting and President Kennedy is fighting for his life at Parkland Hospital. On the other side of town, you have Lee Harvey Oswald in the Oak Cliff area at his rooming house, getting ready to head towards the Texas Theater. Back in the Texas School Book Depository, Deputy Sheriff Luke Mooney, while searching the sixth floor, discovered the so-called sniper's nest in the southeast corner of the floor. There were three spent shells lying on the floor. Mooney stated it looked as if someone had planted the bullets there. He said, quote, "I can't see any way the shells could have landed that way on the floor as they were discharged from the rifle," end quote. Here's Deputy Sheriff Luke Mooney describing what he saw that day.
I immediately saw the area and with some books had been stacked up and the window was half open. Now this window was not all the way open. It was only a half pane open, which is something of this nature, high up off the windowsill. And I spotted the spent cottages. I secured the area and let no one into that particular spot where the sniper's nest was, where I had seen the spent shells. And someone brought the message up that the president was DOA, was deceased. And at that time, you could have heard a pin drop. You talk about touching your heart, it did. And, pardon me. We were standing there talking and trying to reach our composure. And this wasn't brought out in the statement that there was a book there. And she looked over at it, and the was open, and why on this face of this book was about this size was a picture of Christ. And it says, Christ leads the way.
Shortly after that, Deputy Sheriff Eugene Boone and Deputy Constable Seymour Weissman found a bolt-action rifle with a telescopic sight between two rows of boxes on the other side of the sixth floor in the northwest corner near the staircase. Sheriff Roger Craig was on the sixth floor searching with the others. Here he is describing the search for the rifle.
And we began then to search for a weapon. Everybody took a different direction, and Deputy Sheriff Boone and myself just happened to head for the northwest corner of the building. And Boone was ahead of me by about 8 feet. And there were a stack of boxes just at the head of the stairwell going downstairs. And Boone looked over into it and said, here it is. Here's the rifle. So I immediately went over beside him and looked over, and there was a rifle. But we didn't touch it until Captain Fritz and Lieutenant Day from the ID department of the Dallas Police Department got there. Now, Captain Fritz was the chief of homicide, and Lieutenant Day was from the Identification Bureau.
The weapon was photographed once Captain Fritz and Lieutenant Day arrived. After Lieutenant Day determined there were no fingerprints on the knob of the bolt and that the wooden stock was too rough to take any fingerprints, he picked up the rifle by the stock and held it that way while Captain Fritz opened the bolt and ejected a live round. Unfortunately for the Warren Report defenders, the four police officers present at the time the rifle was discovered unanimously identified it as a German 7.65 Mauser. The officers had no doubts about the identification, and affidavits were drawn up by Boone and Weissman, who described the weapon in detail, noting the color of the sling and the scope. Police Captain Will Fritz was also present at the scene, and he also is claimed to have agreed that the rifle was a 7.65 German Mauser. On top of all that, Sheriff Roger Craig, who the Warren Commission interviewed but did not ask about the type of rifle that was found on the sixth floor, also says he saw a 7.65 Mauser. Here's Roger Craig talking about the description of the rifle.
I believe they pulled the rifle out and handed it to Captain Fritz, who held it up by the, had a strap on it. He held it up by the strap and asked if anyone knew what kind of rifle it was. Well, by this time, Deputy Constable Seymour Weissman had joined us. Weissman was a gun buff. He had a sporting goods store at one time. He was very good with weapons. And he said, it looks like a Mauser. And he walked over to Fritz. And Captain Fritz was holding the rifle up in the air. And I was standing next to Weissman, who was standing next to Fritz. And we weren't any more than 6 or 8 inches from the rifle. And stamped right on the barrel of the rifle was 7.65 Mauser. And that's when Weissman said it is a Mauser and pointed to the 7.65 Mauser stamp on the barrel.
So according to Roger Craig, Seymour Weissman literally read 7.65 Mauser off the barrel of the gun, and that is how he knew it was a Mauser. If Craig is to be believed, that's a pretty compelling case for the rifle being a Mauser. Now, Seymour Weissman was an expert on guns because he previously ran a sporting goods store where guns were sold. In Weissman's November 23rd affidavit, he describes the rifle he found with Sheriff Boone, quote, this rifle was a 7.65 Mauser bolt action equipped with a 4/18 scope and a thick leather brownish black sling on it, end quote. Like Constable Weissman, Sheriff Boone also indicated in his November 22nd affidavit that, quote, the rifle appeared to be a 7.65 Mauser with a telescopic sight on the rifle, end quote. If it wasn't a Mauser, that's a big fact for them to both get wrong in their first affidavit. District Attorney Henry Wade, in a television interview, referred to the 6-4 discovery and quoted the weapon as a Mauser, a statement picked up by the press and reported widely. On the day of the assassination, Dallas television station KBOX broadcast that the weapon used was a 7.65 Mauser. To add further confusion, Treasury agent Frank Ellsworth said that the Carcano was discovered on the 4th or 5th floor, which is not on the 6th floor where the gun and evidence was located. There were numerous news reports about a 7.65 German Mauser being found in the Texas School Book Depository. ABC, NBC, and CBS all reported on the Mauser. Here are some news reports from that day.
The Dallas Sheriff's Department said a rifle had been found on a staircase on the 5th floor of the building near the scene where it is now believed the from where the shots were fired. It was a 7.65 Mauser, German rifle.
German Gott Mauser with the sniper scope that was used to kill President Kennedy.
A Mauser has been found, 7.65 Mauser.
It's a 7.65 Mauser.
It was a 7.65 Mauser.
A 7.65 Mauser.
A 7.65 Mauser.
It's probably a shock to some of you that we're always told the rifle found in the sixth floor was an Italian-made Manluca Carcano. Wonder why that is? Is it because that was the rifle they could pin on Oswald because he owned that type of rifle? Following the finding of the gun, it was collected by Lieutenant Day and taken to the police headquarters, where it was logged as a 6.5 Manluca Carcano, an Italian carbine, bearing the serial number C2766. Manluca Carcano Italian carbine number C2766, it was claimed, belonged to Lee Harvey Oswald. Why does it matter if the rifle was a Mauser or a Carcano? The gun that the Warren Commission had in evidence that, as we will learn, had at least some prints from Lee Harvey Oswald, and it was a Carcano. The shells in evidence are 6.5mm Carcano shells, which were found in the southeast corner of the Texas School Book Depository. If the rifle was a Mauser, then it automatically proves conspiracy because the shells that were found in the sniper's nest were from a different type gun, which means the gun in evidence was not the murder weapon. What was the model of the rifle? The eyewitness testimony of Deputy Sheriff Craig, Boone, and Weichman points to a Mauser being the model of the gun. Weichman was an expert on guns, having previously owned a sporting goods store. It's hard to believe that Deputy Constable Weissman, the sporting goods store owner and a gun expert, would initially get the name of the gun wrong, especially when the Mauser had its name written on the gun. Deputy Sheriffs Craig and Boone supported Weissman. Captain Fritz admitted he may have said it was a Mauser too. And also, Mauser ammo was found in Dealey Plaza that day. You see, there have been numerous reports over the years that a 7.65mm shell was found in Dealey Plaza after the assassination. In 1992, the Assassination Records Review Board found an FBI evidence, an envelope, from Dallas dated December 2, 1963. The envelope was empty, but the cover identified it as being found in Dealey Plaza after the shooting and containing a 7.65mm shell, the same type of shell that would be used by a 7.65 Mauser. This makes one believe that the gun found that day in the Texas School Book Depository, 6th floor, was a Mauser and not a Carcano.
Now, this is where the story gets a little complicated, because you identified the rifle. Tell us about that.
People were asking about the rifle. What did it look like? I said it looks like a Mauser. Mauser, rarely referring to bolt-action weapon. As it turned out, it was an Italian Carcano bolt-action weapon. And so there's been some
controversy
about it. about that.
Well, surely the Warren Commission is going to clear up this confusion about the rifle, right? The Warren Commission's job is to get to the bottom of this kind of thing. And they are telling everyone that they're going to move every stone and look under every rock to get to that truth. They asked Ruth Payne probably 1,000 questions in her testimony. So surely these three officers that were around the rifle and have said it was a Mauser and had the Mauser stamp on the barrel are coming before the Warren Commission. Surely these three are in for some serious grueling and examination. I'm sure they're probably going to be there for a long time, answering every question, because this is really important. Was the gun a Mauser, or was it a Manluca Carcano? This gets to the basis of whether Lee Harvey Oswald is guilty or not. So will the Warren Commission do their job and ask all the questions they need to ask of these three officers to solve the mystery of the rifle? Well, what do you think? When they have the chance to solve the mystery of the rifle, instead they ask almost no questions and are extremely vague. They ask one question, one freaking question of Deputy Boone. They spend about 10 seconds with Deputy Seymour Weissman on the rifle, and they don't even ask Deputy Roger Craig about the rifle at all. There is no better proof that the Warren Commission was a complete sham when we have examples like this. Whenever they can't ask a question because they are afraid of the answer, they just ignore it. But let's just focus on the Warren Commission's examination of the three officers. We'll start with Deputy Seymour Weissman. After asking Deputy Weissman about the search of the building and finding the rifle, they then start in on the rifle itself. Something that I find very interesting, and you can look up this testimony online, they're simple to see and find. Before they start asking about the rifle, there is a, quote, off-record discussion that takes place. Why? Then Assistant Counsel for the Warren Commission, Joseph Ball, asks Weissman, quote, in the statement that you made to the Dallas Police Department that afternoon, you referred to the rifle as a 7.65 Mauser bolt action, end quote. Mr. Weissman says, in a glance, that's what it looked like. Mr. Ball, that's what it looked like? Did you say that or someone else say that? Mr. Weissman, no, I said that. I thought it was one. Mr. Ball, are you fairly familiar with rifles? Mr. Weissman then says, fairly familiar because I was in the sporting goods business a while. Mr. Ball, what branch of service were you in? Mr. Weissman, U.S. Air Force. Ben Ball doesn't ask one more question of Weissman about the rifle. He goes into work and what branches of service were you in? Are you kidding me? He has to ask the question. Did you see Mauser stamped on the barrel of that weapon? He doesn't ask it. You know why? Because he already knows what the answer will be and what a shitstorm that will cause. All right, now, let's move on to Deputy Sheriff Eugene Boone, and it's even worse. They don't ask Boone any questions about the rifle at all until he is ready to leave, and this is what they say. Sheriff, thank you very much. Mr. Ball, there is one question. Did you hear anybody refer to this rifle as a Mauser that day? Mr. Boone says, yes, I did, and at first, not knowing what it was, I thought it was a 7.65 Mauser. Mr. Ball, who referred to it as a Mauser that day? Mr. Boone, I believe Captain Fritz. Again, they don't go any further. Ball says thank you, and that's the end of the interview of Deputy Boone. It's unbelievable. And with Roger Craig, it's the worst of all. They don't ask Roger Craig one question about examining the rifle, whether he saw Mauser stamped on the barrel or not. They ask him nothing about it. They don't even bring it up in his testimony before the Warren Commission. And of course, the real question that they should have asked next is, Deputy Boone and Deputy Weissman, I have in front of me an affidavit that you swore to on the day of the assassination, in which you claimed the rifle was a 7.65 Mauser. Did you or did you not look at the stamp on the barrel of that rifle, and was it a Mauser? They didn't ask that question, because they could not ask that question, because they knew what the answer would be. I've seen it argued that the misidentification was because they just glanced at it. First of all, what cop glances at what is a murder weapon and the most important piece of evidence that they will ever touch in their entire lifetimes? As a Dallas policeman or sheriff, you're in the most heightened attention span and focus mental mode of your life the day of the JFK assassination. And you're standing right inside the actual supposed shooter's location, frantically looking for any evidence you can find. One or two of you actually find a rifle and shout out, here it is, or we found it. The finder knows he is a living, integral part of one of the most impacting historical events in America's history. This was the most important piece of evidence that any of those policemen there would ever handle in their entire life, and they knew it. Every cop standing in that circle looking at the rifle surely were mesmerized enough to look at it with more scrutiny than any other weapon they had ever came into contact with. Weissman would later say, quote, to my sorrow, I made a mistake in identifying the rifle as a Mauser, end quote. Weissman eventually had a nervous breakdown in the early 70s. He was actually institutionalized. According to some, his involvement in the JFK assassination investigation was at least a part of his breakdown. One can imagine the possible incredible stress on someone like Constable Seymour Weissman. Imagine he really did see a Mauser on the sixth floor of the Texas School Book Depository, and he was telling the truth to everyone about it being a Mauser. He would also know the JFK assassination was a conspiracy. Having to keep a truth that big and important inside of him out of fear for the rest of his life could very logically send him over the edge. Roger Craig also died as a result of his JFK assassination involvement as well. He never wavered and said to the day he died that the rifle found that day on the sixth floor of the Texas School Book Depository was a Mauser. So was the smoking gun there all along? You decide. If you like what you hear every week and want to learn more about the assassination, please pick up my book, The End of Innocence, The Assassination of President John F. Kennedy. It's available right now on Amazon, or you can find it at www.endofinnocencejfk.com. In honor of the release of the JFK assassination records, I'm sending out signed copies of my book. If you would like one of these, please email me at endofinnocencejfk@gmail.com. The price is $40 for the soft cover and $60 for the hardcover, plus shipping and handling. I can promise you, you won't be disappointed in the book. It's an oversized coffee table style book. The book is over 500 pages with almost 1,000 pictures. You won't be disappointed. And hey, send me your comments about the book or this podcast at endofinnocencejfk@gmail.com. We'll see you next week.
Now, this is where the story gets a little complicated, because you identified the rifle. Tell us about that.
People were asking about the rifle. What did it look like? I said it looks like a Mauser. Mauser, really referring to bolt-action weapon. As it turned out, it was an Italian Carcano bolt-action weapon. And so there's been some
controversy
about it. Controversy about that.